Our scripture reading for today is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter, beginning with verse 28. Jesus is here in a conversation with many of the religious leaders among the Jews. A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." He answered and said, "I will not." But afterward he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, "Likewise." And he answered and said, "I go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. When I was a little boy growing up here in Mankato, there was a man who grew up in the same neighborhood I lived in, lived not too many blocks away from me. It became very apparent by the time I was done with grade school that he was a severe alcoholic, had destroyed his family, his marriage, his children ultimately disowned him. He lost his business. He ended up living like a street person, basically what some would call a bum on the street. We would see him around town once in a while, shaggy and disheveled. We'd hear about him get arrested, being taken to detox. This had just become the pattern of his life. just kind of a big drunk in the city and in the community. One day when I was in seminary, I happened to be walking home, and there was a park bench near my apartment, and I saw this very bum sitting on this park bench in a deep conversation with a man dressed in a nice business suit who was sitting there. And I thought, that must be an interesting conversation. And as I walked by, I kind of walked by slowly so that I could eavesdrop a little bit. And I listened in, and this is what I heard this drunken bum saying to this man in the business suit. You got to understand, it's not by how good you are that you get to heaven, but it's through Jesus. It's by God's grace alone that anybody gets to heaven. That's not what I expected to hear. I was a little bit surprised. Sometimes the members of God's kingdom can be found in places that we wouldn't expect. My dad always said, there are going to be some surprises in heaven. Jesus is really addressing that same issue for his audience that he's talking to, but also for us today, by providing a warning for us in these very words, a very important warning. And he uses a parable, a story, to, as he often does, to teach a very important truth to us about this. And in this parable of the two sons, he is using it to represent two different, if you will, groups or classes of people when it comes to spiritual matters. Let's start with the second son first. So the second one. The second son promises his father that he's going to go off and do this work for him. But then, of course, in the end, he doesn't do that. Jesus is here shining the light on those who claim to be zealous for God, initially maybe have a great desire to want to follow the things of God and care about the things of God's kingdom, but because of their spiritual devotion to that, have somehow started to lean on their own goodness and their own righteousness, and to start to think that maybe they don't really need God to save them because they have become such great people now, being so religious. This group piously sounds as though they want to follow what the Father is asking them to do, but ultimately in the end, they end up disobeying him. There are many people who at first maybe appear to be very religiously zealous for God. They'd heard the invitation to the gospel. They'd even put their trust initially in God's grace and the coming Messiah, in our case, and the Savior that we know about. And yet, through their life of very religious devotion to their faith, to their Christian faith, they've actually fallen away from that grace because they've started to think that they're really hot stuff before God, that it's their good, virtuous life that is somehow what makes God so happy with them. If you're like me and you've been blessed with a really nice Christian upbringing, fantastic Christian parents, good Christian education through your life, going to church every Sunday, having the Word of God in your home around you, knowing the commandments, you can list them off and the explanations and everything else, then we need to pay attention more than anybody to the warning that Jesus is giving us here. Faith in Christ never boasts about what it is or what it does. Faith in Christ never boasts about what it is or what it does, but it always confesses, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. The essence of faith, Christian faith, is spiritual poverty that hungers and thirsts for the righteousness that only God can give us and does give us through the work of his Son. Now, looking back at the parable, let's go to that first son. The first son wrongly disobeys his father's request to go work, but then we're told he relents, he has a change of mind, and does ultimately go do what his father asks. This Jesus is using, by the context we can tell, to represent reckless, careless sinners who have lived in the squalor and the muck and the manure of sin throughout their life, and yet by the work of the Holy Spirit, through the call of the gospel, have been brought to repentance in their Savior and have come now to faith and to trust in him and in his grace. Now we need to notice something here. Jesus is obviously not in any way commending the manure, okay? He's not in any way commending the sins that they've fallen into. He's not in any way encouraging us to be careless with lives of sin. That's not the point. The point is the change of heart. The point is the relenting that takes place by the work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. There were many people in the Jewish community of that day who had been kind of expelled as a despised class in society because of their wickedness, tax collectors, harlots, prostitutes, probably many others. They had been kind of booted out from how society looked at them because of their wickedness and their evil. And yet, they had come to listen to the call of repentance by preachers like John the Baptist and others who had come to them with God's word of law and gospel and brought them now to repentance and faith. Dr. Paul Kretzmann comments on this text. I love this. He says, "A poor sinner that realizes his guilt and repents of his sin is acknowledged and treated by God as an obedient child, and his former sins are no longer remembered." That's great. Remember the story of the prodigal son and how the father goes and meets him on the road when he finally comes back and he's all repentant? Does the father bring up any of the things he did before? No, that's all gone. It's all past. All he wants to do is hug his son and take him back. Just to use an illustration, imagine that there's somebody who is very, very sick, and they have external signs and indicators and symptoms of that sickness. It's very easy to convince them that they're ill then, and when they come to realize that, the cure, the medicine, is extremely important to them, and they can't wait to take it, and they know they need that medicine. Somebody else may have the same illness, but it's not showing up in external ways and external symptoms, and they may easily forget that they need the medicine. That's a more dangerous condition in which to live. Martin Luther says this, to paraphrase him, "Some whores will be saved instead of arrogant, sanctimonious hypocrites, because at least they finally realize their sinfulness and cling to Christ, but pious hypocrites die trusting in their own imagined holiness." I've known a number of people in the time I've been a pastor and chaplain who, because they fell into a deep, horrible sin that just bothers them, they live in a state of contrition about that sin their whole life. Not that you would ever encourage someone to fall into a deep sin, but there's also a spiritual benefit that comes from that when you are repentant, because the sting of that in your conscience causes you to go back to the cross over and over again. It causes you to hold on to the blessings we have in the means of grace, because you realize so openly about yourself that you need God's grace to ever stand in his presence. Jesus says, "He who has been forgiven much loves much, and he who has been forgiven little loves little." So the bottom line to this whole text is this: it's all by grace that anybody will ever get to heaven. Even those who, on account of their faith, have become very religious in life and followed the commandments of God and live a very sanctified Christian life, it's still about grace that we get to heaven. The penitent whore crying at Jesus' feet gets to heaven exactly in the same way as St. Paul, who is in chains in prison for preaching the gospel. That bum on the bench was right. There are probably going to be some surprises in heaven because of those that cling to grace in Christ alone to get to heaven. Let us make sure that we are one of those so we get to witness those surprises. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for bringing us to a knowledge of our sin, but more importantly, a knowledge of our Savior. Help us throughout our lives to hold on to him alone for our hope of heaven, and cause this wonderful faith to also produce fruits of faith in our day-to-day lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.